Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, yes, Lord, it is truly a happy day when we come into your presence, when we come into your house with thanksgiving, when we come praising you for who you are and, Lord, for what you have done in our lives. Lord, we pray, Father, that we could just shake off all the cares and concerns and just to focus on your word and know, Lord, that it will strengthen us for the battles that lie ahead. And so, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for worship. Thank you, Lord, that it is truly better to be in your house than anywhere else. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you. Oh, yes. It is, isn't it? Happy Father's Day. Listen, I've got a couple of announcements. First of all, AXIS, that's the young adults class. It's not a class, it's actually a home fellowship, kicks in again on the 26th at 6 p.m. at Vanessa's house. So if you're interested in going to that and you're a young adult, college and career age, please take advantage of that. Also, listen, if you're new here or you've been coming a little while, in the front of you in the seat back, there are connection cards where you can get connected to a ministry if you're interested. Visitors cards. If you're visiting, we'd love to hear from you. Even if it's a critique, if you know, something you didn't like, just write it down, fill it out. We'll throw it away. Don't worry about it. No, we do want to hear from you. Also, prayer requests. Listen, if you have need for prayer, fill out one of those cards, and we'd be more than happy to be praying for you throughout the week. Very important. Now, if you attend BCF, that's our self-confrontation, that's our Biblical Counseling Foundation class, it is canceled today because of Father's Day. Yes. So, we will continue again next week. And by the way, next week we'll have pizza for everyone in the class since we missed this day. That's a way. Yeah, there you go. So, pizza and Bible. Does it get any better than that? Yeah. All right. So, if you would please open your Bibles to Revelation 19. I've entitled our message, Father of the Bride. If you need a Bible, of course, the ushers will put one in your hand. Bless you again. Now, I will be teaching Revelation, but we've got to finish the book of Acts first. But right now, we're just going to dabble a little bit in it. Like I said, I've entitled our message, Father of the Bride. We're going to use this verse, Revelation 19, verse 7 through 9, not 7 through 10. That's my notes. Okay, 7 through 9. And we're going to bounce around quite a bit, but we will tap on this from time to time. Let's read it. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, let's pray real quick. Father, I pray once again, just breathe life into these verses that we will look at and help us understand who we are and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the only time that there is a father of the bride who is also the father of the groom, and it's not creepy, is when it's God. Because God is the father of the bride, and we understand that the church is the bride, and he is father of the groom, and Jesus is the groom. And of course, Jesus said that he was always about his father's business. So the only time that it's not creepy to have the father of the bride and the groom be the same father is in our text this morning. Now, please note, if you are visiting, this is not the normal type of message that I give. I'm not a topical preacher. I am an expositional Bible teacher, line by line, verse by verse. And so this is just a little bit out of the norm because, once again, it is Father's Day. And to you fathers out there, happy Father's Day. And to you ladies, we had Mother's Day, so now it's the guy's turn. So sit back and relax. And I've always mentioned, I have to mention this before we move on, that the two highest attended church days are Christmas and Easter. The two lowest attended church days of the year are Super Bowl Sunday and Father's Day. So the fact that you are here, way to go, awesome. Now, outside of Christmas and Easter, the next highest attended church day is Mother's Day. Yeah. What is the reason? Well, I think on Father's Day, the family says, hey, Dad, what do you want to do? And he says, sleep in. You ask a mom, what does she want to do? Let's go to church. And I love that, ladies. You get an atta girl for that. But I thank you that you're here, and it's wonderful. We want to focus on the fact that we have a Heavenly Father, and He is also the Father of the bride. But before we develop that, let's also look at the importance of earthly fathers, because they are important in our life. Now, how many of you had an earthly father? Yeah, thank you. I didn't really want to see a hand. For some of us, if you're like me, you didn't have a daddy, you had a father. And what I mean by that is we had a man who gave us life, but we didn't have a man who really showed us a lot of affection and love. See, God is our example of a loving father. He is. And we need to copy His example. If you are a male and you have children, it is important that we copy His example. I like what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said this: a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. If you had a great dad, if you had a good dad, if you had a so-so dad, if you had a Darth Vader dad, God the Father of the bride, is far more wonderful than any of those. Even if you had a great dad, He is better. Now, we are going to attempt to understand the father and the daddy concept before we move on to the father of the bride and the marriage supper of the Lamb. We must, in order to understand this concept, we must go back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said this: then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Now, you might say, wait a minute, that sounds redundant. In our image, in our likeness, isn't that the same thing? No, no, no. See, understand this. God's image, the image of God, is maleness, but likeness of God is manhood. And you're like, what's the difference? Pastor Randy, what are you talking about? Listen, I am a male by biology, but I am a man by responsibility. And so when it says in our image, that's my maleness, in His likeness, that's my manhood, and that is my responsibility in how I deal with that. When a male takes responsibility, he becomes a man. Because when a male does not take responsibility, he a boy. Now, side note. Taking responsibility for our actions, repenting of our sins, admitting that you are broken in need of a Savior, that takes you from being a man to becoming a man of God, which is even greater. Now, manhood. Manhood isn't about the act of sex. The act of sex doesn't make you a man. The responsibility act makes you a man. There are a lot of boys having sex that never become men because they refuse to take responsibility for their actions. Having a child makes you a parent. Loving and caring for a child makes a parent a mommy and a daddy. It's so important that we know the distinction. Understand, we were all created needing love. That is why a baby cries. The baby is scared. The baby wants love. The baby wants to be held. Listen, how many of you started off your life as a baby? None of you. Great. We have one weird church. We were all babies at one time. Now, I know some of you ladies are saying, Pastor Randy, my husband's still a baby. But that's a whole other situation. But we all start off as babies. We all need love. That's just a fact. Being a father is to be sacrificial. Our Heavenly Father set the example for us, didn't he? And by the way, God won't ask us men to do what he himself isn't willing to do as our father. That is so important. He set the example. Think about this. When a daughter is going to get married, it's the father who usually pays for the wedding, right? Do you realize that there is a cost for the wedding supper that we are going to? And there has never been a more expensive wedding. Why? Isaiah 53:10 tells us this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. You see, Father God, the father of the bride, paid the highest price for the wedding supper of the Lamb by offering his own son's life. You know, oftentimes we say that wedding cost an arm and a leg. Well, it cost his arm, his leg, his head, his eyes, his breath, his lungs, his heart. It was total. So we should not take the position of a man, father, dads. We shouldn't take it for granted, especially when we take it into the perspective of what and who God is. Men, we must either bring our families to the altar or allow Satan to come in and alter our families. It is so important, men, that we lead the example. So we have a father, and we have men who are fathers. My dad wasn't a great dad. I told you that. He didn't give hugs. He never said, I love you, until the last year of his life when he got saved. He didn't comfort me when I had hurts. My dad's only expression of love prior to being saved was to buy me a toy. He'd go, mijo, here's a toy gun. Go shoot the neighbors. Thank God it was a toy gun. My dad was simply doing what he knew to do. It was the way he was treating. It was the example that he was given, and that's what he repeated. And so men, maybe you're not a father yet. Maybe you are a father. Maybe you're a grandfather. We can set an example for the young men in our lives. And we can set an example for the young ladies in our lives on what to look for in a man. There is much more to being a father than to buying things and to provide shelter and even to administering discipline. There must be love. There must be sacrifice. Men, what an honor that God would share such a lofty title with you and I. William Wordsworth said this, Father, to God himself, we cannot give a holier name. And yet, we become fathers. But do you realize that Father is an action word. Father is a love word. To become a father, anyone can be a father. Anyone can have a child. It only takes a moment. But to be a daddy. Listen, a quote. It's easy for men to have children. It's harder for children to have a dad. It's so true. Why? Because it takes sacrifice. It takes love. If you're here today and you have children, I pray that you've been a dad to your children. That you've shown them love. That you've shown them sacrifice. Let's look at the love of the father of the bride. In John, 1 John, chapter 3, I love this verse, or these three verses, actually. In 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now notice that first, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. I like the way the NIV actually words it here. It says, what great love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished. Why is it a lavish love? Why is God's love lavish? Because, listen, when we think of something lavish, it means it was great sacrifice. They really went all out. Well, God went all out. He gave his son that we would be saved. The love of God is exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. Why? Well, think about this. Yet, while we were sinners, I wasn't even asking for God's love. You weren't even asking for God's love. In fact, we were an offense to God, and yet he still loved us. And how did he love us? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask. He gave his son. He came down in the flesh and he was the ultimate sacrifice. Talk about a valiant love. Sometimes we read this and we miss the depth and the meaning. We have the wrong perspective. We come to church and what do we have? We have a spiritual experience. But what we really should have beyond coming to church and saying, you know, I had a spiritual experience. We should come to church and lavish in the love of God. We should bask in the fact that he loves us. He's giving us his word. We have an opportunity to come together and worship and praise him. And there's this just wonderful communion with him. And all of this begins with how we envision our Heavenly Father. How we envision the Father of the bride. See, love is an action word. And the love of a father is an action title. To be a father is an action title. It's a call to action. A willingness to lay down your life for your children. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life for us. I like this because God said, listen, I'm going to give you an example of how you should live. Follow that example. And so he comes down and he lays down his life for us. One writer put it this way, talking about his dad, he says, he didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. What do you set an example? How are you living? What do your children see in you? They see forgiveness. Do they see an example of integrity and honesty? They see a humility. Do they see sacrificial love? That's what Jesus was. God the Father showing us how to live by coming down in the flesh and being an example. That's why Paul said, hey, follow me as I what? Follow Christ. Follow his example. That's all I'm going to do. He was my father. He is now God in the flesh. I'm going to follow what he lived. I'm going to do what he does. That's what our children do. Our children will grow up to mimic. Now, they may not mimic perfectly everything. They get to choose and go their own way. But there will be a lot of traits that are similar. A lot of traits. Every wedding has gifts, right? Well, in this wedding that we're going to, sooner than later, the wedding that we are going to go to, the wedding supper of the Lamb, you know what the groom wants? He wants one thing. Well, he wants our love and devotion. It's two things, but it's encapsulated in one. That's called obedience and faithfulness. That's two again. I don't know, it's a lot. He wants our heart. All of it. If you're married, isn't that what you want? When you stood before the altar and you said, I do. When your spouse said, they do. They didn't say, you know, do you promise to give part of your heart and some of your life and some of your devotion? Oh, maybe. No. It was a commitment. That's what the groom wants. A commitment. A devotion. He's our groom. And God the Father is the father of the bride. Now, for us men, it's kind of a weird concept. Wait. You mean I'm a bride? Well, no, not us individually, but the church as a whole. Whew. I don't look good in a dress. Not that I know firsthand or anything. I'm assuming. Stop picturing that, okay? It is a happy Father's Day. You ever take a child on Mother's Day or Father's Day to buy a gift for mom or for father? You ever? The first cool thing that they see that's cool for their eyes is what they want to buy. Right? The young girl, little girl will buy, oh, look at Cinderella in a magical golden sparkly gown for mommy. And you're like, yeah, right, for mom. Or a little boy comes in and he's like, ooh, the mega bazooka squirt gun for daddy. Right? And the parent sees the gift and they're like, oh, great. Until you go, why the Cinderella? Well, because she looks just like mommy. All of a sudden, now mommy likes that. Why the mega bazooka squirt gun? Because it's cool and it's a limited hero version. And that's perfect for dad because he's big and tough. It's like, whoa, now I like the squirt gun. You see how that works? It's the same thing with God. Sometimes what we offer to God, we may think it's minuscule, but if the heart behind what we're offering is for him because we honor him in our heart, he doesn't care what it is. He just cares that we love him. You know, I think about the fact that I have two grown boys, and randomly, out of the blue, they will send me a text of love and encouragement about, you know, how their life has been impacted by my life and my integrity, or what they call integrity or whatever. But it's encouraging. Or my grandchild, Simeon, he sends me a card out of the blue. It's not a holiday or anything. And it's just out of the blue. I remember when Riley was younger, we'd be walking to go to the store and she just grabbed my hand and hold my hand. No reason. Wasn't dangerous. Just hold my hand. Or come and get a random hug. She doesn't do that anymore, but there was a time. I I love this. James Dobson says, a good father will leave an imprint on his daughter the rest of her life. See, the way Riley would come, just because, the way Simeon would send a letter, just because, when Randy and Dario send a text, just because, is how God wants us to come to him. Just because. Not because it's Sunday, or it's Easter, or Christmas, or holiday. Not because you need something. Listen, one person put it this way. A truly rich man is one whose children run into his arms when his hands are empty. Or do we come to God only in times of trouble? That's not his heart. He's always available for us. In fact, he's a God that never slumbers or sleeps. He watches us while we're sleeping. He knows the number of our days. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows us. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Randy, that sounds great. How do I come to God like that? Well, you come to him with prayers, not a shopping list of needs. You come to him just telling him how you care about him. You send him a random prayer note just because. You serve him. Not because you have to, but because you realize who he is and you recognize it. Remember, Jesus was concerned about service. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. He set an example for us. Why do we do the things we do? Or how about this? We come in and we worship. We give him a gift of prayers. In fact, I say this all the time. We should beat the worship team to the throne of God. We should. You know, at a wedding, there are two things that the father of the bride looks forward to. Well, one he doesn't, he kind of does, and the other one he does. The one he's kind of torn about is when he gives the hand in marriage, when he walks her down the aisle, because he knows, I'm giving her away now. Someone else is going to become the hero in my little girl's life. But the other thing that he looks forward to is the father-daughter dance. When he holds her in his arms for that last time. We can come in every Sunday, every time there's worship, we can lift holy hands and sway in worship with the Father, and it can be intimate and beautiful. That's how you can do it. Listen, it's not songs. It's worship. It's praise. Just because he's God and he loves us. See, earthly dads, we do our best. One day we want to be the father of the bride or the father of the groom, but not at the same time. That would be a horrible day. But you want to be one or the other. You look forward to that. You raise your children knowing that one day they're going to become adults completely. They're going to leave the nest. It's a bittersweet moment. Look back at our verse, Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. The church is the bride. How has the church made herself ready? How have we made ourselves ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Isn't that an important question to ask on this Father's Day? Well, in worship and in service is how the church gets ready. We wrap ourselves in robes of righteousness. How? Through our worship and our service, through our obedience and our gladness. Look at the next verse. It tells us right here in Revelation 19. It says, his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Ta-da! How do we get ourselves ready? Listen, I believe, folks, the marriage supper of the Lamb may be close. I can smell the banquet cooking already. I believe it's closer than we think. So how do we prepare ourselves for this wedding? Like the bride and groom. You know, my bride and I just photographed a wedding last weekend. And what do the bride and groom do hours before the wedding? The groom is making himself look as good as he can. But the bride, the bride is making herself beautiful. The makeup, the hair, the dress, it's incredible. You ever notice that a woman will spend $500, $1,000, $2,000, even more for a dress, and the guy rents a tuxedo? There's commitment for you. But listen, how are we to prepare ourselves? And he tells us, by the righteous acts of the saints. Your and my saints, that's believers. I've told you this many times. You're either a saint or an ain't. Now, I'm not saying do stuff, because listen, you can do stuff and be grumpy and bitter, and God says that ain't no righteous act. I'll tell you, sometimes I got some heavy stuff going on in my life. But when I come in here, into God's house, with God's people, that stuff, that can stay outside, because this is a time to rejoice and be glad. That's why 99% of the time, I'm the king of goofy. Because I couldn't be happier. There's nowhere else I want to be than right here with y'all and him and the Holy Spirit and in his presence. I live for this. Do you? But there's a father of the bride. So that's an overview, kind of. We touched on both the earthly father and the heavenly father. Let's look a little more at our heavenly father. Our heavenly father, he's all about relationship. Do you realize that? He's all about relationship. It's God and his creation. Listen, think about this. Shepherd and sheep, you and your pets. He created you and your pets to mimic shepherd and sheep. So the way you love your pets, and you do, I know we have pets at home. Someone loves them. Jennifer. But that's a reflection of shepherd and sheep. How about this, master and slave? We don't like that term slave, but it was completely different in biblical times. That's basically employer, employee. That was God's idea. How about friendship? Jesus said, I call you friends. What a friend we have in friendship. That was God's idea. Husband and wife, Christ and the church. God the Father and his children, the parent-child relationship. And of course, like I said, bride and groom, husband and wife. Ephesians says it's a mystery. When he talks about, in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit to your husband. You know, husbands, wash your wives in the water of the word. And he goes, hey, what? I'm not talking about man and wife, but I am talking about man and wife. He's like, dude, make up your mind. But he says it's a mystery because it's Christ in the church. All of that is God's idea. Why? He likes relationship. He's about love. God is love. And love takes place in a relationship. Listen, it was all his idea. Trek with me here, okay? The Lord Jesus teaches us to call God Father, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. You're familiar with our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. See, we read that. We've memorized it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, you could recite it 90 miles an hour. But you don't understand. For the Jew at that time, that was mind-blowing. He didn't call God Father. No way. That was, you didn't do that. That was too personal. Listen, they had to go through a whole rigmarole, and only one priest once a year could go into the holiest of holies inside that veil. Everyone else stood outside, and the blood and the sacrifice and all the ritual, and it was agonizing, it was exhausting for one day to feel kind of, to have your sins not washed away, covered momentarily. And they were like, you didn't call him dad, father. You didn't call him father. No way. And so when Jesus said, our Father, the disciples said, what? That's too personal. But then Jesus, he said, no. You don't get it. That's not radical enough for y'all. In Mark chapter 14, verse 35 and 36. In Mark 14. This is where Jesus is praying. And he went a little further and he fell on the ground. Remember, he's an example for us. And prayed if it were possible that it might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. When he said Abba, he was not talking about the cheesy Swedish rock group. He was not saying, I want to hear Dancing Queen or Fernando or any of those silly songs. Abba. Abba means daddy. If you go to Israel, you'll hear little children go, Abba, Abba, Abba. That means daddy, daddy, daddy. So he taught them, call him dad, call him father. No. Call him daddy. None of the patriarchs referred to God as Father. Not Abraham, not Jacob, not Moses, not David, not Elijah. None of them. They called him Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai. Adonai means Lord. That's it. They didn't even, not even his name. They kept his name hidden. And when the scribes would be writing his name down, they would stop, do prayers and cleansing, throw away the inkwell and the pen and start writing again. If they came to his name again 3 words later, they'd get rid of it. So they held his name in high esteem, but they did not call him Father. They did not call him Daddy. And Jesus comes in with this radical concept and they're like, what are you talking about? Today, we use the term Father so liberally. In fact, there are some ministers who want you to call them Father. Bing, boom, bing, boom, bing. No, don't do that. Sometimes I get people who come from maybe a Catholic background, and I'll be talking to them, and they'll tell me, okay, Father. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know your mom. I'm sorry. What you talking about, man? I know I'm Hispanic, but chill. Listen, God's name was sacred. It was sacred. Father to God we cannot give him a more holy and intimate name. Well, we can call him Daddy. Father, the calling God Father speaks of his authority, his correction, and his provision. But calling him Daddy speaks of his love, his nurturing, and his guidance. And I love that. I want both. His rod and his staff. Now it's Father's Day. And fathers everywhere are receiving gifts. You want to know what the greatest Father's Day gift that was ever given? Jesus Christ on the cross. And you know what Jesus was giving his Father? Us. Us. Jesus was giving his Father us on the cross. those things, us, that would be worthless to anyone else, like a plastic doll or a squirt gun. But because of the heart of the Son, because of the love, he values us. We have value because of the intent, because of his joy in us. When we get to heaven, we are going to a wedding. Y'all like weddings? No. So, no. I don't like birthdays, weddings, Christmas. I like cable TV and a lazy boy. I'm teasing. I don't know who said that, but that was funny. Listen, weddings are joyful. You're happy for the couple. They found each other. They're in love. You pray that they're going to make it. And you go to a wedding. We went to the wedding, and I didn't get home on a Saturday night until 11:30. And you know me, I got to study all night. So it's like I was already a couple hours behind. But it was okay because it was cool. It was a wedding. People are happy. When we get to heaven and we go to a wedding, 7 years long. And by the way, it's called a wedding feast. We get to eat for 7 years and not get fat. So the Lord Jesus gave his Father us. His Father gave us the Holy Spirit as an engagement ring. The Holy Spirit will give the bride to the groom. How cool is that? We're the groom. I mean, we're the bride. The church as a whole is a bride. All this giving. You know, that's why God says it's better to give than receive. The Son gives us to the Father. The Father gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us back to the Son. And it's a wedding feast. And by the way, there's another aspect to a wedding. You know, a father will take his daughter and he takes her up to the front, and then the minister usually says, who gives the daughter away? If he doesn't approve of the son, he could say, no, I ain't giving her. You're going to have to pry her out of my dead hands. No, no, no. When the wedding, that means the father is approving of the son. And listen, let me tell you, there's never been a father more pleased with the son than what the father is with Jesus. Never, ever. In fact, in Matthew 3:16, when Jesus was being baptized, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I well pleased. And think about this. When God the Father said that about his son, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. He hadn't healed anyone. He hadn't walked on water. He hadn't cast out any demons. He hadn't raised the dead. He hadn't done anything. Listen, God is not pleased in activity. God is pleased in identity. Are we identified as children of God? Are we identified as the bride of Christ? Only because of the fact that we love him, not because of the things we do. We do the things because we love him, but we don't do the things to try and earn his love. We've already got that. If we are identified with Christ, we're going to a wedding feast. And we, listen, you know, who is the main attraction at a wedding? The bride. The church is the main attraction. You would think, well, it's Jesus. And no, Jesus says, no, you're the main attraction. And we're like, no, you're the main attraction. And God's the Father is like, this whole thing's the main attraction. I just love this. My God, look at this. Isn't that what daddies do? Some. Verse 9 of Revelation 19. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you have the engagement ring of promise of the Holy Spirit active in your life? Do you? Oh, okay. I have to skip some stuff. It's a simple process. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I accept what you did on the cross in order to give me to your Father. Holy Spirit, I accept you as the engagement ring of promise. And Holy Spirit, I know one day you are going to come and gather us to be with Jesus. Listen, real quick. In the Jewish wedding, the young man will come to the door of the gal that he wants to be betrothed to. And he will knock on the door. And if she opens the door, he will come in and dine with her. What does that sound like? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and dine. Okay. Then when he's in there, he will pour wine and bread and have a meal with her and sit down and talk. What does that sound like? Communion. Uh-huh. And then he says this. The young man will say, hey, I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you, to prepare a dwelling place. In my Father's house are many mansions. Bad interpretation. When people say, I went to heaven and there were mansions everywhere, they didn't go to heaven. What it means is in my Father's house are many there's many rooms. We're all going to be one big happy family in one ginormous palace. So there aren't going to be, it's dwelling place, a many rooms. So here's what happened. The young man said to the young lady, listen, I'm going to go prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house or any dwelling place, I'm going to make another dwelling place attached to my Father's house. And then he will go. And then he will start building this extra add-on to the house. And the father will look at it and say, no, it's not. You need curtains here. You need more. Women love light. Put some more windows. Can't be a man cave. And then the father says, oh, that's perfect. Go get your bride. That's why Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour, only my Father, because the Father has to tell the Son. And then when the young man goes to get his bride, they stand afar off in the Jewish wedding, and the servant or the best man will blow a horn, and then he alerts the virgins and the girls, the maids of honor, and the bride, that it's time for the wedding, that it's ready. And they have to have their lamps ready with oil. You got that right? You're tracking with me? Then the servant, the best man, will go and get the bride and bring it to the groom as the groom stands afar off. Doesn't that sound like a rapture? And then they go to the wedding. Next week, I got to tell you, you notice our new sign out there, Rapture Ready? Are you ready? Next week, I'm going to teach on the rapture. So this is a preparation. This Father's Day message is preparing us for a rapture message. And then we're going to spend about 8 weeks, maybe less, to finish out Acts. And then we're going to Revelation verse by verse. Because I think it's important. Because I think it's getting closer than ever before. So what is all of this about? Father, happy Father's Day, happy Mother's Day. The parent child. The man becomes a dad, becomes a father, then becomes a dad. That we have a heavenly Father. And it's all. What does all that have to do with? It has to do with one thing.
Love.
Love. So today we celebrate Father's Day. Earthly Father. But don't forget your heavenly Father. Because he's the ultimate. Maybe you didn't have a good dad. That's okay. You have a great dad in heaven. You know, you can cry out to your earthly father and say, even though maybe you weren't the greatest dad, we both have a heavenly father who is spectacular, and he loves us. But if you had a great dad, give him a call, give him a hug, tell him you love him, because he made a lot of sacrifices to get you to where you are. And ultimately, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, our Heavenly Father becomes the Father of the bride, Father of the groom, and we're heading to a wedding feast, and I believe it's sooner than you think. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for, oh gosh, thank you for adopting us. Thank you for, Lord Jesus, for paying the price for the wedding, for salvation, for eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have gone to prepare a place, because in your Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions, many dwelling places. God, we want to be there. We're excited about the concept, the thought that you could return at any time. And Lord, I just pray and ask that if there is anyone here who has never surrendered their heart, if there's anyone here who doesn't walk through those doors and engage in worship, if there's anyone here that doesn't find an overwhelming joy in serving you and being in your presence and being with God's people, we're going to spend eternity together. This should be the happiest place on the planet. And if it's not, may we check our heart, because maybe we don't know you. Maybe we need to truly surrender. Maybe we're fighting the joy of our salvation and quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to us right now. Father, may we find new life in you, and may we be excited about the coming future. Lord, we're going to a wedding. That's going to be awesome. And so, Father, no matter what this world throws at us, we know who wins. We know where we're going. We know who loves us. And so, Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for your love and mercy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand, sing one last song.